Today, we are living on the air in Cincinnati. We're eating some Skyline chili and heading to a ball game. Maybe we'll even cross state lines to park our car. We're at Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati on this edition of Ballpark Road Trip. This is Ballpark Road Trip. If you're listening to this podcast, you like ballparks, or you're planning on visiting a ballpark sometime in the future. Well, you've come to the right place. Here on the show, we will be traveling around to each major league city, talking to locals who know their home ballparks inside and out. Hello and welcome to Ballpark Road Trip. I'm your host, Jacob Russell Snyder, and I'm pretty sure I just dated myself a bit by singing the theme song to WKRP in Cincinnati. But then again, if you are listening to this podcast and you're like in your early 20s, then please let me know, because that would be a very exciting development. This week, we are in the great state of Ohio to check off current MLB ballpark number 9 on our list. Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati. Later in the show, I will be talking to Maggie Pryor and Jeff Whitesell about their recommendations and insights. But first, I'd like to tell you quickly about my visit to the ballpark. Great American Ballpark opened March 31st, 2003, and I visited in August of 2003, so that first year it was open. I was driving across the country, moving from Irvine, California to New York City. I was 24 years old, and this was ballpark number 4 on my cross-country trip. I had just attended 2 games at Wrigley, but I couldn't fit in New Comiskey while I was in Chicago. I would have to knock that off later. So, Sunday morning, I left Chicago around 8 o'clock with Cincinnati 4.5 hours away. That would get me there at 12:30 for a Reds-Giants game at 1:20. Perfect. Unfortunately, there was road construction. That slowed me down big time. And then, somewhere between Indianapolis and Cincinnati, the clock on my cell phone changed. I'd forgotten that Cincinnati was in the Eastern time zone. So I rolled into town around 1:45 local time, and by the time I parked and got into the ballpark, it was the 4th inning. I saw a bit of the concourse as I came into the stadium, but I was late and I wanted to get straight to my seat. I was seeing my hometown Giants, and I had planned ahead and gotten a good ticket in the first row right down the left field line on the first deck. So that meant first row, right next to my favorite player, Barry Bonds. And it was worth it. Let me tell you, not only was I really close to him, but he saw my Giants hat, came over, shook my hand, said thank you for coming out to the game, and then posed for a picture. It was amazing. And of course, none of that is true. Come on, it's Barry Bonds. He doesn't care who I am. Anyway, but I was close to him, and that was kind of fun. But the only issue was, being late and really enjoying my seats, I didn't get to explore the stadium very well. I was there for like less than 2 hours. I feel like I could go back and experience the ballpark brand new, because I'll bet it is a lot different, and there's probably a lot to discover. I mean, thinking about it, going the first year that it opened, there was a lot around the stadium that wasn't developed yet. I felt the same way when I visited Chase Field, Bank One Ballpark at that time, back in its first year in Arizona. It felt like they were still doing landscaping, still kind of creating the neighborhood. So I feel like it's not always the best idea to go first year to a brand new ballpark. If you go a few years in, you'll probably even get a better idea of what they're planning all along. So anyways, I left town the next morning, less than 24 hours in the city, but I did give myself one special treat while I was in Cincinnati. After spending 4 nights on a sofa at Northwestern outside of Chicago and a Motel 6 in East St. Louis the night before, I found out where the Giants were staying and got a room at the same hotel. Not only was that the best night's sleep I had on the whole trip, but it was so much fun seeing my favorite players get off the bus and then go directly to their rooms without signing autographs. But, you know, it was still worth it to 24-year-old Jacob. But now it's time to get to our conversation about Great American Ballpark with Maggie Pryor and Jeff Whitesell. So let's get to it.
Great American Ballpark.
With me on the program today, I'm very happy because we have a couple of Reds fans. We have Maggie and Jeff, who are both joining me from the, I'm guessing, the Cincinnati area. Jeff, you're from Cincinnati?
I am definitely from Cincinnati, yes.
And how long have you been a Reds fan or going to the ballpark?
Well, I've been a Reds fan since probably 1975. I was 10. I was living in Annapolis, and you know, it was a big Red machine, and it was pretty awesome. So I enjoyed the Reds back then. We had season tickets through the 90s, and 1990 was an awesome year. My wife and I got married that year. She probably went to 61 games, which I figured she must be a keeper then. You know, anybody A, put up with me, and B, go to that many baseball games must be a keeper.
Kind of how I married my wife as well. So Maggie, how about you? How long have you been a Reds fan or going to games?
So I've been going to Reds games probably since the late 80s, early 90s. My dad used to take my brothers and I to Riverfront to watch the Reds play. And then in 2014, a friend and I decided that we were going to become season ticket members. So from 2014 until 2022, we used to get the 20 game pack.
So you've mentioned, Maggie, that you are a season ticket or were a season ticket holder. How about you, Jeff? Are you a season ticket holder or do you do game to game?
We were season ticket holders for a while. But then COVID happened and so forth and so on. And we dropped them, but I go roughly 3 to 5 games a year. I buy them usually off the Reds. Sometimes I buy them on SeatGeek or something like that. You know, there's some really good deals, secondary market. Being a volunteer for the Reds Hall of Fame, I know when it's going to be a nice day. I know who's going to be pitching. And so sometimes I go, let's see. And so then I look to see if there's a club seat available for, they're usually like $120, $130. I get them for $25. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty good. Yep. I think you can go tonight.
So you find that waiting till the last minute isn't necessarily a difficult thing in Cincinnati. If someone comes into town, and you guys, that's who this podcast is mostly for, people who are probably going to be passing through town. I'm guessing Reds fans do not need to listen to this podcast to figure out how to go to a game, but people who are visitors and may either be nervous and want to get their ticket way in advance. Are you saying that it might be possible, Jeff, to get something on the secondary market for a good price, kind of close to game time?
Yeah, it just depends on if it's, if we're playing the A's, we're definitely, it'd be cheaper than playing a,
That's your second mention.
If we're playing somebody like the Pirates or something like that on there a Tuesday night, it's going to be a lot cheaper. And the other thing is, it depends on the weather. I mean, all kinds of things. Now, my son and I went to all 30 stadiums. And so when I was doing the 30 ballparks, I would get the schedule and I would buy tickets up front and wherever we were going. And so I can understand that as a buyer, that's not a bad way to go. But if you're just into town, like you were saying, and you think you can't get a seat, you can get a seat unless it's for the Cubs. Cubs games can be tough. Boston was just last week. I went to that game and it was full of Boston fans, which really kind of was not great. If it's just a regular game right now, even though the Reds are young, they got some really good players and people are looking for him. You know, and if you go Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday afternoon, something like that, you're going to find tickets for sure. For sure. That's no problem.
Great. Maggie, how do you get to the game usually? Do you drive? Do you take public transportation? Are you close enough to walk?
So I live about 15 minutes away from the ballpark.
Okay.
So for the most part, I drive, but I will park either on the Newport, Kentucky side and park at the levee. And I believe it's $5 for 3 hours and then $10 for 6 hours or whatever. And then it goes up. And then I'll either walk across the bridge to get to the ballpark, or there is a shuttle bus that will pick you up. It's $1 each way per person. It'll drop you off at the bottom of the hockey stadium, and then it's just a short walk to the stadium. I will also park on the Cincinnati side, depending on how much of a hurry I'm in. Usually I'll park like 3 or 4 blocks away from the ballpark, just for the fact that it's way cheaper and it's easier to get home as opposed to parking like on 3rd Street, which is right across from the ballpark. You have everybody that's trying to leave at the same time, trying to get from one highway to the other highway, and it can just be a mess. So,
Maggie, let me follow up with you. Let's say you're in Cincinnati. Let's say that people are staying in Cincinnati and they are driving. Is it worth it to drive across the bridge to Kentucky? Do you have to pay a toll to get over there? Is that better for people who are coming from Kentucky, or is that still okay from Cincinnati residents as well?
There's no toll. I know they're thinking about doing a toll on the Brent Spence, but I don't think it's going to happen. And if it does, it's going to be a long way away. If you're in Covington or Newport, you literally can walk across the bridge and be at the ballpark in 5 to 10 minutes. It's like maybe a mile and a half walk. If you're staying in downtown Cincinnati, you can easily walk to the ballpark. I know a lot of people are like, oh, is it safe? There's always people walking to and from every part of the city, so walking is not an issue.
Jeff, does Cincinnati have any kind of public transportation that makes it easy, or is it really a driving, walking situation?
Yeah, even though we have 2.5 million people in the greater Cincinnati area, public transportation is not the greatest. We do have this thing called the Connect. And what that is a bus. It's like a bus, and you can pick it up, but it goes all around the city. And it's not really convenient if you're trying to get someplace quickly. So driving and parking is probably your best. Maggie is correct. I mean, parking across, if you don't mind, I get lost going into Kentucky, so I don't do that very often. So I go to the Scripps building, which is on 3rd, and usually it's $10 instead of 20 or 30, whatever it else. And you're still parking in a garage. And I have found that I've been able to get out really quick, get on 75, and I'm gone. I live north of downtown, so about 14 miles. And so I'm able to make it pretty quickly. But that's because I know it. But it's easy. Once you're on 3rd Street, you can go north or south on 75 or 75, 71. So you're right there, and it's an easy drive out. But again, public transportation, that's something Cincinnati has been talking about since I've been here, and that's 45 years, and they haven't done a very good job of it.
Now, some places, it's nice to get to the ballpark early so that you can kind of walk around the outside or walk around the area before you go in. I'm thinking, like, you know, Oracle Park is really nice in San Francisco to walk out by the bay. You kind of want to take a 360 around it. Would you recommend that for Great American Ballpark, or is it the kind of place where you want to get in and all of the things you want to see are going to be in? What do you think, Maggie?
There are some things outside on the third base side before you get into the ballpark by the Hall of Fame. There's the Cincinnati Red Stockings like tribute area that shows like the first Reds team and, you know, the first team in baseball. And then there's all the statues that they have created and put out in front of the ballpark in the past 15 years. So there's like Johnny Bench, there's Tony Perez, Pete Rose, Joe Morgan. But then also on the inside of the ballpark, like if you go in through the main gates, there's like a mosaic right when you walk in. It shows like the old timer, you know, baseball team.
Jeff, anything else to add about the outside or about getting
the outside? We've had a lot more bars and food and things like that right there on the first base side as you're coming in. One of the statues that Maggie talked about was Tony Perez, and I'm going to tell you just something really quick for your listeners.
Yeah,
and most Cincinnatians don't know this, but if you see Tony Perez's statue, if you look straight up, you can see a ball. And this ball is coming from the AC Hotel, by the way, which is probably a really expensive hotel. Not really expensive, but, you know, it's expensive enough. But it's right across the street. Great hotel if you're going
to go.
Anyway, if you look at it, the ball is the trajectory of the home run hit by Perez in 1975 against the Red Sox to win the World Series, and when he hit the Ephus pitch, and nobody knows about it. I mean, you got to look across the street to see it. And so it's really kind of a cool thing to find. So I would tell your listeners, find that, tell somebody from Cincinnati, hey, look, there's a ball. They'll have no idea what it is. Okay.
Oh, that's cool. That's great.
They have no idea. I tell people all about it, and they're like, I've never heard of that before. And so it's pretty cool.
Sorry to put you on the spot, Maggie. Have you ever seen that ball? Have you seen it before? All right. You do know about it. All right, good. So at least our Cincinnati expert also knows about it. So great. You've just earned your place here. Okay, that's good. Jeff, anything else?
You know, outside.
You said there are places to, you said that along 3rd Street, there are maybe places to go before the game?
No, not 3rd Street.
Okay,
It's right across from the Hall of Fame.
Let me ask that again so I sound smart. So you said that right across from the Hall of Fame, there's some great places to go before the game?
Yeah, because you know you're right in front of the Hall of Fame because Johnny Bench's statue is right there. So if you see the Bench's statue, you turn around, you look, there's this whole street of bars and good food. They have, you know, Mexican, but one of the neat places to go to is the Christian Moreline House. And if you walk in there, right there at the very beginning, there's a plaque that tells you that was where first base was for Riverfront Stadium. And if you go down to the garage level, at the second level of the garage level, you'll find the home plate marker. And I just think about Johnny Bench being behind that home plate, and now it's being driven on all the time. And I'm like, that's kind of uncool. But anyway, one of the neat things to do is to eat at the Christian Moreline Ale House, and you can overlook the river and you see Kentucky, and it's pretty picturesque. It's a nice view, nice place to eat before the game, and then go to the Hall of Fame. And we're going to talk about that soon because that's definitely what you want to do.
Where would you suggest people get tickets that's not the first deck? Because, you know, that first deck behind the infield is usually where people will be like, go get some tickets there. Okay, sure, in every stadium. But where in your stadium are also maybe some good seats that people may not know is a good view?
The Handlebar is a cool place. It's out in right field, and they have these seats that, you know, they turn around and you can get a box for that. And you can... What's cool about the Handlebar is this. Let's say you go and get the cheapest seat in the house, and you decide, I'm going to upgrade it. I want to go to the Handlebar. And so I go up to the club. It costs you someplace between $75 and $85. Great food, great views. It's kind of a neat experience. And it's a definite upgrade of what you have. But if I'm going to buy just a regular seat, and I'm going to, you know, I'm thinking money wise and so forth and so on, $425, $424 is the third level right behind home plate. It's a nice view, and it's going to cost you $20, $25. So, you know, that's the way I would go. I got
third deck behind home plate. Yeah.
Third deck behind home plate is, and the first couple of rows, you know, the first row, of course, is awesome because nobody's sitting in front of you. So,
Maggie, I'm looking at the ballpark a little bit, and, you know, it looks like right field or the first base side is different than the third base side. Do you guys have, do you have any thoughts on which is better for people? Is there any, does it feel different from one side to the other? Is, are you looking in the sun? What's, where would you suggest, right field or first base or third base?
So the first base side, I think the sun goes away faster. So the sun will go, if you're on a first base side, it'll creep around to the third base side, and the third base side is like the last place that the sun will disappear. Or actually in the terrace outfield, which is in left field outfield. Okay. That's really the last place, in the bleachers, which is up above that. I don't think there's a different feel between first and third base side. I've sat on both sides. You see a scoreboard on each side. There's a jumbotron that you can look at on each side. It all depends on if you are more into sitting near your, you know, the home team or the visiting team. So it's all a personal preference, in my opinion.
Where do you like to sit?
You know what? There is really not a bad seat. The only place I won't sit is on the bleachers, just for the fact that they're uncomfortable.
What makes them uncomfortable? Like, said, are they metal benches?
Yeah, they're metal. Okay. They're metal benches. Yeah. But like Jeff said, like the 425 section is probably one of the best sections to sit in, because you get the whole panoramic view of the ballpark and the river, and it's just beautiful. So,
Maggie, when you come to games, are you the kind of person who likes to try all the new food concoctions that they've gotten for that year? Are you a pretty traditional hot dog and popcorn person, or do you bring your own food?
For the most part, I bring my own food. Lately, I've been really into the Skyline Nachos.
What's the difference between regular and Skyline Nachos?
So the Skyline Nachos, you've got your tortilla chips, and then they put nacho cheese on it, and then the Skyline chili on top, and then shredded cheese. So it's quite delicious. But for the most part, I don't try the new stuff. I'm pretty plain Jane. I like my hot dogs. I like my regular nachos too. So, but for the most part, I'll bring food in. I'll bring my drinks in.
What's the food and drink policy about bringing in? You're allowed to bring food in and drinks. Some places just allow water. Well, can you do any unopened plastic bottle?
Yeah, any unopened plastic bottle. You can also bring in a soft-sided cooler. So if it's a really hot day and you want to pack a whole bunch of water, what I like to do is I like to freeze the water first.
Yeah.
And then I'll pack it in my cooler. You can bring in unopened bottles of soda, anything non-alcoholic, and as long as it's in a plastic bottle, you're okay. No cans, no glass. Food-wise, you can bring anything you want. So, like, I've stopped at Wendy's, I've gotten Chipotle, I've brought whatever I want, and I sit there and eat it, because I'm like, sometimes, you know what, I don't want to spend $8 on a hot dog.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially for people who are doing like ballpark road trips, maybe they do want to try the signature food item, but maybe it's ballpark 7 and they're tired of spending, you know, tons of money for ballpark food. So that's always good to know if you can bring something in or not. Jeff, how about you? Do you go for traditional stuff? Do you bring food in? What do you like?
Well, being older, I like to sit in the club seats.
Oh, yeah.
I like having all the food there. But one of the things I will say, the Skyline Nachos are probably really awesome, but you got to like Skyline. And when I came here 40 odd years ago and first time I had Skyline, oh my goodness, I thought it was awful.
Now, what is Skyline? What is the difference?
Skyline is Cincinnati chili. So Cincinnati chili has cinnamon in it. So
and chocolate, and so
you get a three-way: is the chili, the cheese, and noodles,
spaghetti noodles. Yeah,
and then a four-way you add beans, a five-way you can add onions. I'm not an onion person, so I never do the onions, but I mean, I like Skyline, and they actually have Skyline La Rosa's Pizza now, and La Rosa's is the pizza here in Cincinnati. It's like the, you know, our signature pizza. And then we also have the Montgomery Inn pulled pork or pulled chicken sandwich, and that's out in right field in there's a Montgomery Inn place. And if you can't go to Montgomery Inn Boathouse before the game, then I would try the Montgomery Inn pulled pork or chicken. That's pretty darn good. But if you don't have your time and you want to try something, Cincinnati, I would do the Skyline. And I think Maggie is right about doing the Skyline nachos. That would probably be the best way to get into that taste.
So around the third or fourth inning, you know, I'm not a Reds fan. I'm coming to see the ballpark. I might not care about the Reds or the Pirates. We've used the Pirates twice today. But, you know, I might not need a Central Division game. I might want to walk around a little bit. So this is a good time to talk about other places in the ballpark where you could spend an inning or two. Let's go, Jeff, because it's your specialty. Let's go with the Reds Hall of Fame. That is... Wow. Accessible from inside and outside the ballpark, or just a ticketed area?
Okay, so it has changed in the last year that you'd have to go to the Reds Hall of Fame in the begin before the game starts, and then you get to go through the whole Hall of Fame, and which is just unbelievable. It really is. I've been to all 30 Hall of Fames in all ballparks. And ours is the best. And it's not just because I'm a volunteer there. I mean, the only place that would be better is Cooperstown. So anyway, but what's kind of cool that they do there is not only do they do the Hall of Fame, they also do the ballpark tours through the Hall of Fame. And you could also, if you want to come early, they do batting practice. So if you contact the Hall of Fame, you could go in and watch batting practices. I did that with my son. We'd always do that, catch a couple of, you know, balls and keep those as mementos and stuff like that. The team shop, which is huge, this huge team shop, you can't go during the game anymore. You got to go before the game to check out the team shop. Or after, and after would be just a zoo. So I wouldn't do that, but it used to be that you could go and they'd stamp your hand and you could go in and come back out, but they don't do that anymore.
Is it a separate admission ticket or is it included with your ticket to the ballpark?
Yes, for the Hall of Fame it is. So the Hall of Fame is a different ticket. But if you take the ballpark tour, then you can go through the Hall of Fame as well. So you get both of those.
Oh, time. Gotcha. Okay.
But if you do the batting practice, that's a different price too. You got to go. If you come, if you love baseball, it's pretty cool.
Maggie, where else would you go if you wanted to stretch your legs a little bit in the ballpark, if you had to walk around?
So there is a gap area in the outfield by the Sun Moon Deck. So there's a giant space over there that you can look and see the entire field. When it's hot, they have a mister. So oh, nice. You can stand under there and, you know, a lot of home run balls will come out there if the balls are flying.
This is right field? Good,
yeah. So it's right. It's center, right in the center of center field, I guess.
Okay.
It's by the batter's eye.
And you can walk all the way around there continuously throughout the outfield?
Yeah, you can walk all around the entire stadium. There's some places like the club areas that you can't get into if you don't have that ticket for that area. But for the most part, if you want to walk around up on the upper deck, you can do that. A lot of the sections are open, so you can pretty much walk the entire upper deck and not get in anybody's way and just stand there and watch the game if you choose to, or if you, you know, don't get into trouble by the ushers and stuff. So
Maggie, you mentioned earlier about some kind of mosaic. What were you talking about and where can that be seen?
So the mosaic is right when you walk in the main gate. It's right up against the wall next to the Reds Heads Kids Club membership booth. There's actually two giant mosaics that you'll see. One is showcasing the Great Eight for the Big Red Machine. And then the other one is actually for the, I believe, the 1869 Red Stockings, which was the first professional baseball team.
You talk about seeing that when you just first enter the stadium. That reminds me, how early can you enter the stadium? Can you watch batting practice before games, or do you have to do... Maybe I'll ask you this, Jeff, because I know a lot of places do special tours where they offer batting practice. Is that the only way to see batting practice at Great American Ballpark?
It's the only way that you'll get to see the Reds bat. You're there for another team, you can come in. If you go with the Hall of Fame, you get to see all of batting practice, which is kind of nice. And you're the only ones there for when the Reds bat.
If you're a season ticket holder, you can get in 2 hours ahead of game time. If you're just have a regular ticket, I believe it's an hour and a half. I know at one point they would only let you in like an hour and 10 minutes before the game started. So you pretty much missed any batting practice.
Let's talk atmosphere a little. First, I'll ask you what I ask everyone. And then I've got a couple questions that are specific to Cincinnati. But first, can visiting fans feel free to wear their own team colors when they come to a Reds game? What do you think, Maggie?
Oh, definitely. You would not believe how many Cubs fans and Cardinals fans will come in proudly wearing their, you know, Cubs jerseys. Or
maybe you're wishing that they would represent a little less of their own colors.
Oh, yeah. Especially the Cubs. They travel so well, especially on the weekend. It's like, you know, you try to chant Reds, 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 and all of a sudden you just hear a sea of Cubs, like, go Cubs, go. And it's like, you know, go away.
Yeah. But Jeff, you don't think that anyone would get hassled, even if they were kind of from a rival team?
You know, as long as you're not wearing a Steelers uniform, you're probably okay.
Okay. All right.
But, you know, it's not like, I mean, I went to a Yankees game against the Reds, and I decided not to wear a Reds.
Right. Yeah. You know,
and they butchered this guy who was, we were walking and just yelling and screaming and throwing beers at him. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what is this?
Yeah.
Cincinnati doesn't do that. We're a nice town. We'll let anybody come in. You buy a ticket, we'll even sit and talk to you. We might even give you a chance, you know, tell you where to go and a good place to eat afterwards. Wear your stuff, enjoy yourself, you know, yell for your team. We hope you lose, but
right.
what about fun or traditional in between inning things?
My favorite, obviously, it would be the hometown hero that we do.
What's the hometown hero?
The third inning. So you can nominate like a veteran or a current, you know, armed forces person, and they usually will invite their entire family. They get these, you know, amazing seats, and they get, you know, if it's an older person, then they'll take them up on the main stage, which is in the right outfield corner. But if they are, you know, able bodied, then they'll get up on the first base dugout, and then like they'll tell, you know, everybody like, oh, their name, you know, how long they've been, like their family members can write this, you know, spiel about, you know, their service, like how long they've been in, like what they do. And like, it's amazing because everybody will get up and clap and cheer, and like, you know, they're waving. Like my best friend a few years ago, she was honored as a hometown hero. So getting to see that be done, like, it's just, you know, anytime you can salute your veterans or anybody in the armed forces, it's always going to be like at the top of my list.
And that happens every game?
Every game.
Great. Fireworks on Fridays?
Fireworks on Fridays. It's great. Their soundtrack is always different. It's always good. They last maybe 15 minutes. It's probably the best fireworks Friday.
The fireworks are the best at this time. We have this thing called WEBN fireworks on during Labor Day weekend, and they're good. But I'm telling you, these fireworks sitting in the seat, You got your drink. You can watch the, and you're not sweating like crazy. If you can go Friday and wear your Connect shirt, you know, your Cincinnati Connect shirt, it's a pretty good deal. It's pretty cool. And I would highly recommend going on Fridays just to get to see the fireworks, because they are awesome. So don't leave early.
One of the questions I ask all my guests is, would you recommend a Friday night, a Saturday, or a Sunday afternoon game between those? So we've heard Jeff's opinion. He likes the Friday night for the fireworks. What do you think? Do you agree with that or anything else?
I agree with that as well. And just to, you know, piggyback on what Jeff said about, if you do leave early on fireworks Friday, walking across the bridge, you can see them light up the sky,
up
above Great American Ballpark. It's one of the best things ever. Sunday games are usually during the afternoon. So if it's summertime, it can get pretty hot and sweaty and
that's
gross.
Good to know. Yeah.
Saturdays, depending on the day. And a lot of times the Saturday games, they'll have like a giveaway.
Every year I hear nobody does opening day like Cincinnati. Is it possible, do you think, for a visitor to come in and try to do that on opening day, or is that too difficult of a ticket to try to get? Jeff, what do you think?
Well, you're definitely going to pay a premium. That's for sure. Because everybody wants to, if you go, then the Reds always skip the next day. And then they have what is called kids opening day, which kids opening day is really kind of cool, because you get there early. If you have a kid, all the Reds players come by, they sign autographs, they, you know, and it's so much more laid back, but you can get a ticket. I always buy a ticket on the secondary market for for opening day. And I went to every opening day for almost 30 years. Got in trouble at work actually one day for going to opening day. So I was a teacher, so that's what happens. But anyway, it's it just gets bigger and bigger. And now that they have all these bars and they close the street off, it is jam-packed, and it's a celebration that's been going on since 1890. So yeah, that's it's a pretty cool situation. The parade is fun, you know, so it's if you can do it, and but just know you're going to buy a premium ticket. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, like Jeff said, we have the Finley Market opening day parade. Every year there is a different grand marshal that leads it. It could be like usually a former player. Like I think the one year it was Joe Morgan. This past year it was Bronson Arroyo, and I think somebody else. And it, you know, you have this line of people, and people line up on the streets, and you know, they take their kids out of school, and it is just one of the best parades that you will ever see in your life. And then once that's over, everybody makes their way down to the banks, which is the area right across the street from the ballpark, and goes to the bars. I mean, the street gets totally shut down. They always do like an aerial view of like the banks, and it was, you know, sea to sea of people. I mean, it's just, you got to go to, if you're ever in Cincinnati on opening day, you have to just take everything in, because it is just one of the most magical sights to see. I had a friend a few years ago that had never been, and I'm like, all right, well, you know what, I'll take you with me. And she was like flabbergasted by how amazing it was, and like, you know, seeing the flyover and then get out the giant American flag. And it's just, cool. It's great.
Maggie and Jeff, it was really nice talking to you. Thank you so much for letting us know all this great information about Great America Ballpark. Thank you for being on the show.
Well, thanks for having
us. Thank you.
All right, some final thoughts on Great American Ballpark before we wrap up for the week. Mostly, I want to just touch on some other food items and food things you should be aware of, because, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't think I'm going to be having any Skyline chili. It's nothing against Cincinnati, their taste buds, their traditions, or anything. I just don't know if I want cinnamon and chocolate in my chili. I mean, of course, I'll try it, but you know, maybe I'll split it and then give someone else the rest. And then I'm still going to be hungry for something else. So, what other kind of interesting things do they have at the ballpark? Well, here are some of the things they have. Just a new for 2024, but they'll probably be there when you go in the future. We have a jalapeno cheddar sausage, grilled jalapeno cheddar sausage, topped with ballpark kraut and mustard. Oh, served on a pretzel bun. That sounds good. We have Hempler's all beef hot dogs. They're the new hot dog sponsor. Big Red Dogs, which are grilled big red smoky wrapped in bacon, topped with pimento cheese, signature sauce, served on a toasted pretzel bun. Batter Up, broader up, grilled and skewered bratwurst. Oh, so those are like little skewers, bratwurst, mini skewers, and then topped with American cheese, bacon, and sauce. You got sliders, you've got smoker nachos with Montgomery Inn pulled pork or chicken, queso cheese, pickled jalapenos, cucumbers, and a jalapeno cream sauce. Brisket and cheese hoagie sounds good, and a brisket mac dog. Those all sound incredibly heart attack inducing. Now, in case you're with a family, if we haven't mentioned yet, yeah, try out, maybe you want to try one of these all-you-can-eat stands. It looks like behind section 144 on the terrace level and behind section 428 on the view level, you can have some of your favorite ballpark fare at one low price with a pass to the all-you-can-eat stand, it says. These stands offer unlimited sodas, unlimited popcorn, unlimited peanuts, chips, and then five hot dogs for just $25 per person. So that seems like a cool deal as well. And those, again, are on the terrace level and the view level. So, yeah, go ahead and knock yourself out. Eating at a Reds game sounds like a lot of fun. And I think they have definitely convinced me to come and make opening day at Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati something on my bucket list. You know, going to see MLB in another country, maybe one of those small games like a Rickwood game or a Field of Dreams game, but I'm going to put going to a Reds opening day game up there on my list as well. All right, that's our show for today. Thank you for listening. We will be back next week in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to finish off this mini road trip. Until then, this is Jacob Russell Snyder saying, next week we'll be back in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to finish off this mini road trip. Talk to you then.
Thank you for listening to Ballpark Road Trip. If you like what you hear, feel free to follow the show on Instagram at ToursWithJacob. If you would like to get in touch with the show, you can send us a message on Instagram or feel free to email us at tourswithjacob@gmail.com. We'd love to hear any recommendations you have for your home ballpark. You can send us an audio recording by using your voice memo app on your smartphone and emailing it to tourswithjacob@gmail.com. Please keep your suggestions and recommendations to a minute or less, but feel free to send as many as you'd like. We'll make sure to get them on the show at some point. Thanks for listening. See you next time.